This piece was brought to you by Roberta's. Roberta'sPizza.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, host of Full Service Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And we're back. Arts and Seizures. Today's show is going to be the heaviest show of all time. Woo! How much heavier could it be, Dean?
None more heavier.
None more heavy. That's right. That's some our good friend Dean Rispler, famous of the Dictators, New York City, many bands, too many to mention. We'll talk about that. But also of Cosmo Demonic, which plays what exactly?
Well, I guess we would call it blackened death, blackened doom metal. I guess
blackened doom metal. Is that like a blackened catfish? Is that like a?
It's sort of. It's a slightly spicier.
The genres of metal. We're gonna get there too because I'm thoroughly fucking confused. Mm. Okay, but also we have
So what's new?
I am easily confused. It's a miracle they even allow me on this radio station. And also joining us, Catherine Turman, who's been here before, our favorite super duper superstar heavy metal journalist, author of Louder Than Hell. Louder Than Hell, which is the oral history of heavy metal and by far the best book of its type.
By far. Even though Cosmo Demonic is not in it. But we'll change that.
The revised updated edition because heavy metal is always here.
Yes.
You know? I mean, hip-hop has evolved, and it's changed, and it's sort of turned into pop music, and you know, I don't even know what the fuck's going on in hip-hop. I mean, I'm old. I think, like, The Chronic was, like, the last hip-hop record I bought, so what the fuck do I know? You know, I try to listen to, you know, Kanye, and it's like, I don't really get it, I have to admit.
He doesn't get you either, so that's okay.
I don't know. I mean, actually, in its way, I admire the avant-garde element of not knowing what's going to happen next with him, because he's so clearly out of his fucking mind.
Yes.
But I'm just not that hip. But heavy metal is always here.
Yes.
It seems to be steady, you know, and hasn't really all changed that much. I mean, it's guitars and testosterone.
Yeah, yes. You can't say ever evolving with most metal. I mean, maybe there's bands like Mastodon or some newer bands or Lamb of God. Hey, they switch from Cookie Monster vocals to clean vocals. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's an evolution. But
an evolution which I back it, but you, as you know, so many.
You're not a metal creationist.
No, not a creationist, but
we are Devo.
But there's so many fans who hate that. So many fans, like, I speak to friends of mine, like, oh, the guys in Mastodon sing clean now. I can't stand it. It's really awful.
Well, they can go back to AC/DC and all will be the same.
I saw AC/DC last week in Wrigley Field in Chicago, and it was, you know, like the Neoplatonic ideal of what a rock band should be. It's probably my eighth time seeing AC/DC over the years in various arenas. Actually, the odd thing is, this was the first show I ever saw at a stadium. I mean, I never went to JFK Stadium or Giant Stadium.
And what a great stadium to see in Wrigley Field.
I thought my brother lives in Chicago, which is one reason I decided to go, because we tried to go see Guns N' Roses in 1988 in Chicago, and it was the night they canceled because there was a riot in St. Louis the night before, and they were all, like, running from the police. So this was sort of to make up for the missed Guns N' Roses show. 30 years later, we decided to go see
AC/DC. Did it work?
Yeah, but you know what? I love Wrigley Field. I'm a big baseball fan, but there's nothing charming about Wrigley Field when there are 55,000 AC/DC
fans. But when they play big balls, it has a new meaning.
Yes.
And they changed the scoreboard by hand.
Did you get a hot dog?
Wrigley dogs are good. You know what I like about Wrigley?
With the Kosciuszko mustard.
The Kosciuszko mustard. Well, you got a brat. And I love in Wrigley, they have an onion dispenser, which always really impressed me. Like, you know.
The way to your heart.
There's a big machine with a big crank that dispenses like raw onions.
Gross.
That's very metal.
That's like my anime. Like raw onion is, if it was a person, I'd punch it in the face.
Really? That doesn't sound very metal.
Oh, I would get into bed with it.
That doesn't sound very metal at all.
Especially if it was with garlic.
Dude, I love garlic. I can eat raw onion like a fucking apple, dude.
Yes.
High five.
Yeah.
Can't stand it. Can't stand raw onion. I like cooked onion.
Says Cosmo Demonic.
Yes.
But, you know, AC/DC was perfect. And here's, like, that's where I draw the line. I mean, to me, it's hard rock. There are times they're playing.
AC/DC, are they metal? That's the big question.
Right. And I'm telling you, while they're playing, I'm like, why can't the fucking Stones play like this? If the Stones played Midnight Rambler like this, you know, everything would be perfect. It was the greatest example of, I told my brother, for all the times we spent together in Chicago over the last 25 years that he's lived there, this was by far the best blues band we've ever seen.
Yeah, but
better than the Smashing Pumpkins?
Better than Blues Hammer?
I mean, it's just this flawless. I mean, who's even doing it anymore at stadium volume? It's Buddy Guy, it's B.B. King, it's all these things. That's Angus. And he doesn't change his tone. Double band doesn't change their tone throughout. You can hear everything they're doing. It's like so perfect, so transparent, so simple. The formula hasn't changed. And it just knocks your socks off. It's fucking great.
But again, they've lost two key members, or maybe, you know, one and a half. Maybe one's in jail. I don't know where Phil Rudd is at the moment.
Yeah.
But so that was not missed, because it's all about Brian and Angus, correct?
It's all about Brian as well. It's about Malcolm, right? Okay, and so they got. I mean, I know. I feel terrible for Malcolm, but listen, I would have been suffering dementia after like one AC/DC tour, let alone, you know, the last 87. They're not getting any younger. The guy they got playing now.
I can't tell you. Perhaps Susan will tell us.
Susan Messina is going to be calling in a minute. She is the official AC/DC biographer, knows everything. I'm too much of a wrestling fan to believe anything. So when they say, oh, yeah, it's our cousin, you know, Steve Young. We're going to get Malcolm, so we got Steve. I'm always a little suspect, but he looks just like Malcolm and plays the guitar with the missing pickup in it and nails it. And they were just fucking flawless. I mean,
I don't know if flawless is good, but for AC/DC, it's good. I mean, I like my rock and roll flawed heavily, usually, whenever possible. But I appreciate and love AC/DC and have seen them almost as much as any other band. So.
Well, there aren't that many moving parts, you know, in AC/DC, which is the point. They don't play particularly fast, you know.
Shorts down, shorts up, get on Brian's shoulders, drive it. It's easy.
The one improvement of this year's tour is like they're not doing the jack this year.
Oh, yeah. So she got the jack.
So I didn't have to look at Angus's butt for the first time in eight tours.
Yeah.
But yeah. Are they heavy metal?
No. Next question.
No. And neither is Motorhead. Motorhead's not heavy metal either.
Okay, another highly ambitious blues band. What's up with Lemmy? Have you talked to him?
Yes, I did. Actually, okay, so here's, I'll drop a whole bunch of names if you'd like.
Drop.
So I went to L.A. because I work with Alice Cooper, and he has this project called the Hollywood Vampires, which is a pseudo supergroup with Johnny Depp and Joe Perry and all these people. So I got to go to their rehearsal. Still dropping names. It was awesome.
I love this. I've been following the Hollywood Vampire saga.
It's cool. They do some. I mean, they do great songs. It's Alice's dead drunk friends. It's like Nilsson, all his drinking buddies from. If you go to the Rainbow Bar and Grill
in
L.A.,
they do Nilsson songs.
They do. Jump into the fire?
Were the best.
The best.
Yes.
The best.
Right. And
as everyone who's ever watched Goodfellas knows, that's a song that you didn't know that is the best you've ever
exactly.
heard.
The bass solo on that's the best.
Tony Iommi played. They had Tony Iommi, Perry Farrell. They had amazing, amazing guests for these songs. But anyway, so I had to step out of the Hollywood Vampires interview to do a phoner with Lemmy, the first one since he canceled those Austin gigs. If you watch that video, it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because he's the hardest guy of all time.
Yeah, Motorhead. He walks out with a cane and is like, I wish I could go on for you or something. It's just devastating. And his voice was so weak. Yeah. I mean, he called me from tour. He's like, we're playing Detroit tonight. I mean, he was, I'm not sure. It's, I'm not sure what drives him. I tried to get that out of him, and he's just like, I don't want to disappoint the fans, is kind of it.
And my friends were just on the motorboat.
Yes.
My friend,
how many umlauts are in Motorboat?
A lot.
Not enough.
None more umlauts.
None more. Hey, before we go too far, we have on the phone our friend Susan Massino, who is the official AC/DC biographer and the author of a recent book called the AC/DC FAQ. Susan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Hello.
Hey, nice to hear from you. I haven't seen you in a while.
Hello.
You were out at Wrigley Field, too, the night that I was there watching AC/DC, but we missed each other among the 55,000 other fans.
We did. I can't believe I was rushing to my seat, and I ran by you, and I turned around, and I'm like, I think that was Mike Edison. Oh, my God.
But I saw lots of pictures of you on Facebook hanging out with Angus and the guys right after the show. So everything's still copacetic with you and the gang. They didn't, unlike other band biographers, they didn't have a problem. You guys are still pals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we go back 38 years. So it's quite a history. Angus and I kind of grew up together in a way.
So what do you think of the show? What do you think of this year's model, having watched them, you know, for a band that's, I mean, been playing for a very, very long time? And they're still doing Dynamite and Sin City and these, you know, Dirty Deeds.
Do they still have the joy? Are they still into it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was talking to Angus about that, about how, you know, it's hard for him to go on without Malcolm, but Malcolm is so much still in spirit with them on stage, and especially the way his nephew Stevie, who's filling in for him or, you know, took his place in the band, Stevie plays so much like Malcolm, but they were actually shooting a DVD that night, too, and they love to play. I mean, I thought they were amazing, and I haven't seen them for 5 years, so I thought the Black Ice Tour was great, but I think they blew everybody away at Wrigley Field that night for sure.
Yeah, it was pretty much the perfect rock concert, like I said. So, okay, I'm too much of a wrestling fan to trust anything. Is Stevie really their cousin, or are they just some guy they got that looks and sounds like Malcolm and they trained him?
No, he's definitely a nephew. He's their nephew.
Susan, can I ask a question? Was Stevie in the Bees?
I don't know. No, he was. I want to say Starfighters.
Oh, okay, but wasn't the Bees some of their family too?
Their brother George was in the Easy Beats.
I know that, but there was another band called the Bees. They had a minor hit. They had a minor hit called Get Angry.
I don't know that. I've never heard of that band.
Dude, the Heritage Radio Station is like Metal Geek Central right now. You have no idea who's in here. Well, they sounded absolutely like they always have, you know. I thought Brian's was in great voice, and Angus was just the greatest exhibition of blues guitar playing I've ever heard in my life. And, you know, and the thing is with AC/DC, every time I see them, oh yeah, they're so good, we gotta go see them again, and then I'm surprised at how much better they are than I even remembered.
You know what I find is interesting? I, for the first time, I got to meet Angus and interview him for the radio show, and I was just amazed. They're doing so much press, they're just kind of so out there for this record, and the funnest part was, everyone smokes in the band, or at least Brian and Angus, so I got to go downstairs in the streets of New York and stand there with Brian and Angus while they smoked, and not one person in the city looked at them. So I'm like, I'm here. I just felt like standing and pointing at them going,
what's up, Brian?
This is AC/DC here.
Maintains those dulcet tones.
He's a dulcet-toned MRFer.
You know, the crazy thing is, I mean, they're really putting it out. He's obviously having a great time. And they're doing stadiums. There aren't even any like, smaller venues, meaning the Barclays Center or Madison Square Garden, intimate little 20,000-seat hockey rinks. They're playing the biggest possible venues across the country and selling them out.
I don't think they've ever, like almost every band, especially Alice Cooper, who I work for. I mean, he went from Madison Square Garden in the 70s to the Beacon Theater in the 2000s. So I don't feel AC/DC has ever had a dip in their popularity or size.
Are you kidding? They're more popular now than they've ever been. And if you've heard the new record, I mean, it sounds like AC/DC, you know, but it's also like, you know, they're not leaning too hard on it. They play a couple songs on it. You're like, oh, yeah, that sounds familiar. That sounds good. It sounds like what the Stones' last record should have sounded like.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember once going to see Dio, and he played the entire Magica album in the middle of his set. You know, when you talk about bands not doing, new material. So, you know, some hits, some Rainbow in the Dark, and then an entire album. Everyone went to drink, to the bathroom, came back for the remainder of the
Some bands get away with that. I saw Rush still does that. They still play the whole new record.
A Rush audience is a whole different thing. They probably beg for that.
Yeah. Well, so
that's a whole different level of also, geekdom.
Also, Iron Maiden. When I saw Iron Maiden the last time, which was a long time ago, they came out and did the whole new record, and people were really disappointed. but to their defense, they were great. They were great. And then their encore was all classic songs.
Well, you're wearing a Priest t-shirt, and I saw they did the entire Nostradamus set, I believe, a couple years ago.
That's weird.
Well, you know, off the metal topic, too, I went to see Bob Dylan last year, and he played everything was from the last couple of years, largely his last record. Can you imagine if the Stones came out and played their new record? You know? Yeah. I mean, people would not be happy. The AC/DC set list is just perfection. There are a couple of new songs, obviously. It's a new tour. The songs sound exactly like AC/DC songs. But by the end, once that bell comes out, you know, once that bell comes out and then they end with Highway to Hell and, of course, Those About to Rock, they are not saving any pennies. They're not cutting corners on the pyrotechnics.
And they play a whole lot of Rosie, yes? No?
Oh, my God! And the Rosie doll just keeps getting bigger. And the tits get bigger and the Rosie gets bigger and there's more ass shaking. It's just
you try to dive into that blow up Rosie.
So Susan, you just wrote a book called the AC/DC FAQ.
Yes, I have. It came out at the on Angus's birthday, actually, on March 31st.
And what is the most frequently asked question about AC/DC?
Probably what Angus is like in real life. I get a lot of questions about that.
So what's Angus like in real life?
He's just so nice. I mean, he's, you know, as you were saying earlier, you if you didn't know who he was, he could be, you know, shopping right next to you in a store somewhere, and you wouldn't notice that this is one of the most famous people on the planet.
Do you think he wears a shirt when he goes to the supermarket? You know,
yeah, and they still act like, you know, they just played a gig. It's like no big deal. You know, yeah, we've been doing this for a long time. And then we talk about stuff. Like, they love to talk about Bon and the old days. And, you know, I haven't seen Angus since the Black Ice Tour. And one of the first things he asked me about was my son, who he met on the Black Ice Tour. And they're just the sweetest people in the world, absolutely.
And some seriously hard-working motherfuckers, too. I mean, I just can't believe what they put out. And, I mean, 55,000 people left just like, holy shit, that was the best rock and roll concert I ever saw in my life.
Did you buy a t-shirt?
I own a classic. I like the Beavis and Butthead model, I call it. It doesn't have the name of a tour on it. It just has AC/DC on it. So, yeah.
Right, so I
wear my colors proudly.
Only one of us in this Metal Summit room is wearing the appropriate t-shirt, and it's not and me or
and
Mike.
And I'm wearing the appropriate sneakers.
Oh, my God.
I got
Sabbath sneakers.
Sabbath. Paranoid sneakers.
Should we ask about the underwear?
You could, but it's not so metal.
Okay, disappointing.
So I hear. So maybe you got an inside scoop on this for us, Susan. I heard after this massive stadium tour, they're going to come back and do arenas next year, maybe?
I'm hoping so. You know, they go down under and play Australia, New Zealand, take a holiday break, and I'm really hoping that I don't have confirmation on any of this, but I'm really hoping that they're going to do another sweep through and hit some festivals in Europe next summer and then, you know, hopefully hit the cities that they didn't come to this time around.
Yeah, I just hope it's so funny. It was the first time, like I said, I've ever been to a stadium. I don't know how I missed it. I didn't, you know, I saw the Stones at Madison Square Garden and not at JFK, not at a football stadium. So 20,000 seats seems, I mean, all the shows I've seen are the Stones and, you know, I'm old, so I saw Jethro Tull and David Bowie and, you know, and all this crap, but I've never been to the Meadowlands or anything like that, and it was a little weird for me, to be honest with you. I felt oddly detached from the band. I mean, AC/DC has a formula that translates extremely well to a large crowd because, like I said, there are so few moving parts. They don't play too fast. You could clearly hear what everybody on stage is doing, you know, at all times. But I miss seeing it in a smaller room. When I say a smaller room, I mean a hockey rink.
Well, my favorite video I used to have on VHS, my friend Neil Wallerstein, who I grew up with, who's now a lawyer, was the biggest AC/DC fan, and he taped off. I think it was Channel 13 was playing late night AC/DC Rock Goes to College. And it was a live show at like some college in England. And it was a tiny room. The room was probably the size of like the Black Bear Bar or
that were Heritage Radio
like,
Station.
Yeah, no, like probably 250 people. And it's you know, Bon Scott era. It's the greatest concert I've ever seen in my life, like unbelievable, and Angus has the backpack on with the dry ice in it, and he gets on Bond's shoulders, and they go through the crowd with the dry ice coming out of the backpack, and it's unbelievable. Like, I could watch that over and over again.
But also, like the AC/DC videos of, like, I think Donington, and then there's one at, like, River Rock, there's one in Brazil. I mean, and we're talking about, like, 80,000 people
in
one massive swelling movie. It's the energy is absolutely fucking incredible in these videos that they put out. The one and did in Madrid in the Bull Plaza.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just absolutely, you know, unbelievable. And to think that, you know, they had once played CBGBs.
And none of us were there.
I know. You know, what's funny, too, is that when I first saw them in August of 1977, I still say they play the same show as they did at Wrigley Field. They just didn't have all the toys.
Yes. Yeah. It hasn't really changed that much. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Susan Messino, who is the author of the new book, the AC/DC FAQ, and, of course, the biography of AC/DC. And where can we find you, Susan? Just find you on Amazon. Buy these books because they're fucking great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm on Amazon and SusanMessino.com, and you can also find me on Facebook.
All right. I can't wait. And I should also mention your other book, a little off topic, but a book that we worked on together about three generations of Hank Williams.
Oh, cool.
Yes, super absolutely. Nice. Family tradition.
Family tradition, three generations of Hanks.
When are we doing that radio show?
You know what? You're always invited, KT. So, well, you know what? We'll come back. We'll talk about, we'll see if we can get Hank 3 on the radio. Who the fuck knows? Maybe he'll come around. He's a pretty regular guy. Right?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Susan, we'll talk to you soon. We're going to take a break now. You are listening to Arts and Seizures live from Bushwick at Roberta's on the Heritage Radio Station. Please remember, we are member-supported, so if you dig what you're hearing and you're checking out our super-duper new website, which is amazing, please click that button that says donate.
it's going to hell in a handbasket here.
We're on the highway to hell over here on the Heritage Radio Station. All right. Let's just, okay, from the highway to hell to the road to perdition. Let's take a listen to Dean's band Cosmo Demonic, and we'll be right back on Arts and Seizures.
Co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Holy cow, we're back here on Arts and Seizures. And it's out of control here. Woo! In the Heavy Metal Clubhouse. We got Dean Ristler. That was...
This is metal.
That was Cosmo Demonic we just heard. And how much heavier could it be? None more.
I'm just
gonna, that goes to 11.
I'm just going to keep making it. What possesses you to make this music, Dean?
Satan.
Yay!
A nice Jewish boy
The beast with many names.
You know, a nice guy like you graduated with a degree in music and...
Degree in music. I have a degree in anthropology.
Oh, well, that makes more sense.
Yes.
Totally. so you can explain metal to us.
So we explain... Yes,
I could explain civilization to you. Civilization stopped being nomadic when people figured out how to brew beer. and that's when they stopped. That's when they
that's the first stadium rock concert.
Wow.
Yes.
That's how this is another show.
It. Yeah, exactly. We're looking at him with open mouths. open mouths that need beer in them.
Okay.
Beer.
Okay.
Beer
in the mouth. That? Civilization ceased to be nomadic when we started brewing beer, which is,
yes.
I believe the Egyptians were the first to brew beer. Is that true?
Well, it was near Egypt. It was,
Egypt.
I think it was
Egyptville.
Sumerians or...
So there needs to... Well, all right. Have we enjoyed any of Iron Maiden's beer? They have the Trooper beer?
You know, I gotta tell you that the worst part of... One of the worst parts of my life is that... I am completely gluten-free now. Because not by choice. I definitely have a wheat
you
allergy.
You dig the gluten, but it doesn't dig
you. Oh, my God. There's pizza right in front of us. Pizza from Roberta's, where we're...
I know. Where we are. Heavy metal and pizza. Punk rock and pizza.
Listen, that's like the biggest loss of to my life.
But there's a lot of gluten-free crusts and things these days.
It sucks. Aww. It sucks.
So you have not tried.
You haven't tried drinking in O'Doul's? Yeah. Yeah. How'd that work?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, a Virgin
only
Mary.
Only in rehab.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but I'll say this: people are very mixed on that Iron Maiden beer.
Well, I
had it at St. Vitus, and I kept the can.
The
but
can
that's
is
about,
cool.
Yes, the can is cool.
Can is cool. But there's a bunch of new metal beers, like 1349. That band has a beer.
Really?
Out. Yeah, it's supposed to be great. And I think there's a Mastodon beer.
Okay. I think there's an AC/DC beer.
There is an
I can't believe AC/DC has a license like
and,
every
and,
known
and
thing.
Motorhead's coming out with a license. They already have a licensed wine.
And a methadrine.
They're coming out with a...
Let me say something like...
Forget white wine. They want white wine.
I switched from speed to Coke for health reasons. What was his line?
No, his line was he switched from whiskey to vodka.
He did. He drinks vodka and OJ now.
For health reasons.
Yes.
Yeah, and how's that working for him? Listen...
He's
the last guy standing. No one is harder. No one has done it more than.
That's what I'm wondering. So all these bands are retired. We're the first generation to see our heroes retire. I mean, not that Motley Crue are our heroes, but they're retiring.
I think our generations before us have seen people retire.
I mean, not rock and roll. Well,
yeah, I think so. I mean, listen. I can't believe that heroes of mine. Like I'm so not looking forward to when Chuck Berry, Little Richard, and Jerry Lee Lewis die.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to be heartbroken. Chuck Berry's the best ever.
Yeah,
and it's like. This guy's, he can't, he's not going to live
forever. Well, no one's going to replace these people. But, I mean, even besides that, the very first nascent generation of rock and roll, I mean, there was nobody really replaced the Ramones. Don't tell me it was Green Day or Blink.
No.
We wouldn't presume to.
And, you know, I mean, who's going to replace these people? Who's going to replace Black Sabbath? God, this is such a fast-running show. I wanted to talk about Black Sabbath. They have announced their...
I just got tickets.
I got tickets, too, but
no Bill Ward, correct?
Yeah, no Bill Ward.
Sucks. It sucks, but you know Bill's not in the best of health. I mean, if you watch him play over the last years, I mean, he may not be up to the gig. So all this scuttlebutt amongst fans about like they're not getting along and it's business. I don't know that he can play the set. I mean, and this is not impugning the man. I mean, he's a 60 plus, almost 70 year old guy trying to play a Black Sabbath set. Take a look at that video that's on YouTube live from Paris, 1970. He is bashing the living shit out of the drums. It is one of the greatest exhibitions.
I own that on VHS.
It is one of the most greatest exhibitions of rock and roll drums.
Right, my solution.
Ever seen.
Would be to have two drummers, have Bill up there doing what he can.
Oh, like the Grateful Dead, two drummers.
Or Skynyrd or whoever. I saw
Joe Walsh 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And had two drummers. That was really weird. Didn't need it, but it was
life's been good to him so far.
Exactly.
Speaking of Iron Maiden and their beer, I love you just interviewed them recently, and I love that there's like this is the best record we've ever made. This is I love
exactly. I mean, actually, the sit down with Bruce Dickinson was really amazing. He has a lot of philosophies about being a front man and what his responsibility to the audience is and what they expect. He's very heady, very anthropological, very psychological, and I just was not expecting that.
You know that, but you know what? That is the most responsible attitude, and I think that's why AC/DC is so great because they know their one great responsibility in life is to their fans.
Yes.
Okay, that's where it begins and ends.
Which is Lemmy's reason for going on, and yes, it is.
And that's it, right? I mean, that's where I grew up. I mean, you do it for the fans. Period. If you ever play a gig and don't treat it like it's the last one, if you think there's something more important and the people who paid to see you come, then you need to get the fuck out of the business.
I'll drink to that.
But I also think there's. I mean, maybe it's me getting old.
Cosmo Demonic, tell us.
I think there's an expiration.
Is that a Jewish name, Cosmo Demonic?
Yes.
Isn't today a big holiday?
Today is a big holiday. I don't know.
Is there a Sukkot?
Yes. On the drive here, there were many fur hats.
Yeah. It's called Brooklyn.
Exactly. But anyway, moving on.
I think there's an expiration date. I think to me, the last good record Motorhead made was Another Perfect Day. After that, I'm going to say it right now. Phil Campbell is a violator, and he sucks.
Filthy Phil. You know,
Phil Campbell is awful.
You know, my one, I was reading Keith Richards' book. I mean, I read a lot of these rock bios, which I sometimes edit, which is sort of how I keep the lights on over at Shea Sharkey. But with Keith Richards' book, my biggest flaw with it, problem with it, was the 400 pages that were missing is like how those shitty records got made in the 80s and 90s and what the fuck they were thinking.
Like,
I mean, they went out and were doing greatest hit stores, and for a while it was still
cocaine,
viable.
Cocaine is the answer to all
what
that.
What are you fucking thinking about? Who? It's hard? No, it's not. You know, it's like, why? What are they thinking when they're making these records?
Well, a personal joke between me and my friends is like when we talk about how Aerosmith died in that plane crash in 79, and how they're the greatest band ever.
And Steve Tyler, right? Okay, who's now trying to relaunch at the age of 909 a country music
talk about
career,
done with mirrors,
right? Have you seen Steve Tyler lately? Right, he looks like a combination between like a 90-year-old vagina and like
I haven't seen one, but maybe you have.
And Johnny Depp, like in the very worst moments of Pirates of the Caribbean.
I gotta say, Catherine saw.
I love vaginas and I love pirates, but this is a bad mashup. It's not working.
How does Joe Perry look?
Joe Perry is a goddamn stud.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. He had the fag in his mouth. He just smoked.
What was his name?
Played. Rob Halford. Oh, I had to keep it metal. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Is Rob the only out metal guy that's of any notoriety?
Of any notoriety, maybe.
There's got to be an entire gay metal subgenre. But that will be a topic for another time.
Yay.
Because, as always, it has been the fastest half hour on the internet today. I can't believe Heavy Metal Clubhouse here. You guys are going to come back. We're going to do this again?
Of course. We're not going to leave. We're not going to leave.
Never.
We're just going to we'll stay here till next time.
Yeah. All right. We got Dean Rispler of Cosmo Demonic. You guys playing? Can we come see you do your thing?
We're not playing at all. Okay, we're doing the classic black metal thing where we never play and we continue writing, and it takes like 9 years.
It's like that Chico Marx routine. Like, what does it cost you to play? You know, well, it depends. You know, but to rehearse, it costs more. And what if you don't play? No, that gets into some money.
Yes, exactly.
I wish I had the full shtick with me. But you're also playing with Dictators, New York City, which are playing like all over the world. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, we're touring. We're touring Europe soon, and then we hit Bowery Electric on New Year's Eve.
Fantastic. Yay! I know where we'll be, Mike.
This version of the Dictators
somewhere else.
This version of the Dictators is
Webster Hall.
Webster Hall to see Tiesto.
I'll be at home caressing a bottle of Valium.
That's good.
and then thinking about you, Dean.
Really? Will you be?
I'm gonna leave you alone.
Will you be masturbating?
No.
During that?
No. Oh, absolutely.
That's highly disappointing.
Yeah. All right, good. But check out Dean and the Dictators, who are absolutely fantastic. I mean, this version of the Dictators has been playing much more than the original version, I think, played. You guys have been on the road constantly, and it is to say that you are a convincing rock and roll band.
I think the last
band is an understatement. You guys are kicking ass.
I think the last long Dictators tour was the long one was with AC/DC and Thin Lizzy. In 1970.
I bow to you.
Oh, I was before. I was seven.
I bow to them.
And Catherine, of course, your book is Louder Than Hell.
Yes,
which kicks ass. It is a book that goes to 11. You're working on a new book?
Yes, I'm working with Mina Caputo from Life of Agony. Some of you may know her as Keith Caputo, front man, and now she is the most awesome woman in rock and roll, and we're working on her story.
All right, well, I can't wait. Everybody here is invited back. Thanks to everybody in Radioland. Thanks especially to Liz in the booth. We got the pizzas here.
Yay.
We got some gluten-free salad for Cosmo Demonicon. We're going to go out with a big, heavy, huge, long Cosmo
Demonicon. Sing along. This one's in B. And drop B.
In the key of drop B. Oh, man. How much heavier could it be?
We tuned down to X for this one.
And how much heavier could it be, Dean?
The answer is None More Heavy.
None More Heavy. Okay, we'll see you guys next week on Arts and Seizures.
Adios.
Thank you.
Network.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.